Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhilila, Chapter 20, Text Number 50. Prabhu Tamaya Bolaya As Aisa Dravesh Shuni Anande Sanatana Karila Pravesh. O Muslim mendicant, please come in. The Lord is calling you. Sanatana Goswami was very pleased to hear this order, and he ended Chandrasekhar's house. As soon as, I'll keep on reading until we come to a purport. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sanatana Goswami in the courtyard, he immediately went up to him with great haste. After embracing him, the Lord was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana was also overwhelmed with ecstatic love. In a faltering voice, he said, "Oh my Lord, do not touch me." Shoulder to shoulder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami began to cry unlimitedly. Chandrasekhar was very much astonished to see this. Catching his hand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Sanatana Goswami inside and made him sit on an elevated place next to him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began cleansing Sanatana Goswami's body with his own transcendental hand, Sanatana Goswami said, "Oh my Lord, please do not touch me." The Lord replied, "I'm touching you just to purify myself, because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe." And then there's a famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhavad Vidas Bhagavatas Tirta Buddha Bhutak Swayam Vibho Prabhu Tirtati Kuravanti Tirtani Swantak Stenakata Vritta. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. Purport. This verse was spoken by Maharaj Yudhisthira to Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.13.10. Vidura was returning home after visiting sacred places of pilgrimage, and Maharaj Yudhisthira was receiving his saintly uncle. In essence, Maharaj Yudhisthira was saying, "My dear Lord Vidura, you yourself are a holy place because you are an advanced devotee. People like you always carry Lord Vishnu in their hearts. You can revitalize all holy places after they have been polluted by the pilgrimages of sinners. A sinful person goes to a holy place of pilgrimage to be purified. In a holy place there are many saintly people and temples of Lord Vishnu. However, the holy place becomes infected with the sins of many visitors. When an advanced devotee goes to a holy place, he counteracts all the sins of the pilgrims. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira addressed Vidura in this way. Since an advanced devotee carries Lord Vishnu within his heart, he is a moving temple and a moving Vishnu. An advanced devotee does not need to go to holy places, for wherever he stays is a holy place. In this connection, Narottam Das Thakur states, Tirtha Yatra Parishrama Kevala Manera Brahma. Visiting holy places is simply another type of bewilderment. Since an advanced devotee does not need to go to holy places, why does he go? The answer is he goes simply to purify the place. The aim of the Hare Krishna movement is to turn every devotee into a holy place. That's our goal of our philosophy, and it begins with hearing. So we hear, we should all become a holy place. But then there's a process to become a holy place. There is no quick way of doing it. If one wants a quick way of becoming a holy place, then one should die in a holy place like Vrindavan, and then when they burn your ashes or bury you, then you'll become part of the holy place quickly. Other than that, if we actually want to come to the spiritual platform, so many different ways of looking at it are there, but they're all more or less the same. The beginning process of hearing, so we can understand something about, theoretically, what is reality. Now we've been conditioned by so many ideas coming from our so-called education. From the beginning of not only this life, but many lifetimes, we've been given ideas which all are centered around the bodily concept of life, that we are this body, and that the aim of life is to control material nature so we can enjoy, especially, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So this is generally people's conception, knowledge of the animals, how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Some people are more expert at these things than others, and they're glorified. But this kind of knowledge is useless, at least for self-realization. So when we hear about the eternality of the self, the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of devotional service, the laws of nature such as karma, then we acquire a lot of theoretical knowledge. But now that knowledge has to be put into a certain perspective. Because without seeing it, assimilating the knowledge, then it's very difficult to actually apply it. So a little assimilation of the knowledge, then we have some idea how to apply it, and when we apply it properly, with the proper perspective, the proper understanding, then some spiritual experience takes place. Especially when we apply the processes of chanting the holy names, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshiping the deities, serving the devotees, and living in a holy place. When we learn how to do that in the proper perspective, like for instance, I'm Krishna's eternal servant, and I'm doing this activity not because I'm such a nice person, and therefore I'm benedicting the Hare Krishna movement, with a deep sense of gratitude that I am so fortunate I have the opportunity to hear about Krishna in the association of devotees, and this will save me from not only the miseries of material existence, but the problems of material existence, but will also elevate me eventually to the spiritual platform in which I can awaken my eternal loving relation with Krishna and his devotees. So some sense of gratitude. So that's a perspective. Not that I've come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam because I don't know why, how I got here. I just wind up here every morning for some reason or another, because everyone else goes there, and where everyone else goes, I just seem to follow. And therefore, I'm here. And I don't really want to be here, but I also don't mind being here. And if worse comes to worse, I'll just fall asleep and everything. I won't have to listen to it. Or maybe they'll tell a joke and I'll wake up, or something interesting may be there, some story. Somehow or another, I'm here. So that's another perspective. There are endless varieties of perspectives. We have to get the right perspective. Like maybe gratitude, I should pay some attention. Maybe there's something there I can apply within my life. And if we find the right perspective and we actually take it seriously, and we find some information we can apply within our devotional service, then the result is that we enjoy some spiritual pleasure, especially from those powerful five activities. And one of them we're engaging in now, namely hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita. But we have to have the proper perspective. Then we might get some information, and then if we apply it, then we get conviction. We're convinced, yes, this is a good idea to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that it's the same old boring Srimad Bhagavatam every morning, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, and maybe I shouldn't come. So many rounds left, get them done so I can actually really enjoy prasadam, etc. No, some conviction, yes, it's a great idea to come to Chaitanya Charitamrita class. There's so much to know, there's so much to experience and realize, so that's called conviction. So the next time there's a Chaitanya Charitamrita class, my mind doesn't say, oh, don't go, you're tired, you're hungry, it's boring, you already know everything. Then we go without going on the mental platform for 15 minutes before deciding to go or to not to go. So that's called conviction. And then when we're actually convinced, we can actually pay a little bit more attention and we learn something. And then we learn that actually I'm supposed to, devotional service is not do it yourself however you feel like doing it. You just do it and hopefully something will happen. No, it's a skill. It's the most refined, subtle skills, the most profound skills of how to render service, devotional service to Krishna, especially the six loving exchanges, where we not only learn to come to Bhagavatam class, Chaitanya Charitamrita, but listen with some appreciation, some love. Not we sit there and I dare you to tell me something I'm going to follow because I'm not really so interested anyhow. I dare you to tell me something I haven't heard before. No, some hearing with appreciation. Let this sound vibration come into our ears, but let our minds be appreciative so they enter a little bit, not only towards our ears and bounce off, as if our ears are just reflectors, that whatever sound gets near it just reflects off of it. Let me have some appreciation so the sound goes through my ear, into my brain, into my heart. So that's a skill of hearing. And there's also a skill of chanting. And then gradually we can develop the skill of remembering. So here it talks about remembering. Now we don't have the skill, we have no knowledge, we have very little knowledge. We have really very small perspective on what we're doing. We have hardly any conviction. And how are we going to have the skill of hearing? Where is the skill going to come from? Is it going to drop in from the sky? The good fairy will deliver it on my birthday? Where is it going to come from? Unless we develop knowledge, perspective, conviction, skills, and unless we actually remember Krishna, unless we're actually in association with Krishna and can feel his presence in loving exchanges with him and his devotees, then how is my character as a pure devotee going to be awakened? How am I actually going to develop the transcendental character that I'm supposed to develop? How am I going to become a pure devotee? Unless I'm purified by, as Prabhupada said, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention. So unless I learn that skill and then give my love to Krishna, how am I going to experience the transcendental ecstasy of being in association with Krishna and therefore becoming purified from my material conceptions and my material impulses arising out of the material existence. In other words, Krishna says that Tesham Sadatam, there's the Chatura Sloki verses in the Bhagavad Gita, and they summarize everything. Namely, Krishna is God. Now we've heard that, how much we've actually realized it, how much we've understood it, how much we put that in perspective, because if Krishna is God, then everything belongs to him. So at every moment, am I utilizing everything to please him? Or maybe during class, and I hear this, and I feel a little guilty, and I think, well, no, but maybe a little bit I should try. And if Krishna is God, then who am I? Who am I in relationship to Krishna? What is my significance unless I'm connected with Krishna? Then if we're convinced like that, then we'll try to acquire the skills to please him. And if Krishna is pleased, then he reveals himself. So we hear from the devotees in the next verse how to occupy our energies, our consciousness in Krishna's service, and the more consistently and enthusiastically we do it, the more Krishna supplies me intelligence. Intelligence for what? How to skillfully engage in devotional service, how to perform loving reciprocations with the devotees. It's not just intelligence how to build a computer or repair one. It's not just intelligence how to sing nicely. It's intelligence how to engage in loving devotional reciprocations with Krishna and his devotees. And if I do that, then Krishna reveals himself in my heart and I become ecstatic. Tesham eva nukamparata. Not because I'm a great personality and Krishna is obliged to follow. No, because I become humble and surrendered. And because I become humbled and surrendered and I chosen the right source of information and I appreciate it and I'm determined to follow it and I'm accepting the intelligence Krishna is giving me, and I'm engaging these loving exchanges with the devotees in the mood of devotion and humility, then Krishna reciprocates, and I become ecstatic, and therefore all the faults of material, all this, the dirt of the faults of material existence gradually are burnt by the fire of perfect knowledge, as Krishna says. And then when the qualities of material nature, namely ignorance and passion, and even goodness are dissipated, then my true nature of becoming Krishna's eternal servant is manifested, and I become Krishna's instrument. And because Krishna is there with his associates, and their ecstatic exchanges of love are manifested in my heart, and therefore wherever I go, I experience their ecstatic loving relationships, I'm engaged in an ecstatic, loving relation with Krishna, and therefore, wherever I go, because I bring Krishna and his associates within my heart, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. So all the other ways of looking at it are the same. In other words, we don't have multi-philosophies. And if you don't like that way of loving Krishna, there's so many other ways of loving Krishna. You just choose whatever you want. If you don't like hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, well, maybe if you put your foot behind your neck far enough, then Krishna will surrender it because he sees you're a great yogi and you'll get ecstatic love of God. No, it's the same thing because as Tesham said, Yesham antakatam papam, Jananam punyakaramanam, Te dvam vam moha nirmuktva, Bhajante mam jhira vrataha. And those who have practiced devotional service in previous lives and in this life, who become purified of sinful reactions and tolerate the dualities of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. So the same philosophy, same idea is there. In the beginning, we're addicted to sinful activity, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, and everything else that follows, because just to forget Krishna means that we're under the control of the illusory energy, which in itself is sinful. Now Prabhupada writes that those who are sinful by nature, who like being sinful, who enjoy being sinful, that's their enjoyment, is the sinful activities. Those who are foolish, those who have no idea what they're doing, those who are deceitful, those they have some knowledge, but they've missing, they don't have the knowledge and the right perspective, therefore they misunderstood things, and those who are atheistic. They understand Krishna is God, but they hate him because he's God and they want to become God. So those persons never can become Krishna conscious. So we fall into the, when we become sinful, we fall, when we become foolish, when we become deceitful, when we become envious of Krishna, then there's no question of advancing even in the most elementary activities of religion, which is more or less to control our senses enough so that we don't perform sinful activities. We regulate our sinful activities or our desires for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They're regulated. So one to become a human being, at least on the path of becoming a human being, one has to accept this most elementary principle is religiosity. And ultimately there is mercy, cleanliness, austerity, and truthfulness, which are destroyed by illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and animal slaughter. So these are the most elementary parts of religion. They have to be regulated. And by some regulation, then the result is that one becomes a little purified. A little purified because one is not engaging in sinful, so much sinful activity. Then one can hear, because our minds are agitated by sinful desires, by sinful activity, we can hardly hear anything. But if one becomes a little controlled, then the mind becomes a little controlled, and one can hear about pious activities. For us, pious activities means we can hear the holy name when we're chanting japa a little bit more. We can appreciate a little bit more of the class. We can serve the we can look at the deities with some more devotion, not that they're just statues, but they're actually Krishna. We can feel some awe and reverence, some appreciation, etc. We can associate with devotees with more service attitude, and we can appreciate the fact that when we're in a holy place, we're being blessed and benedicted. So with those pious activities, then we can learn to tolerate the dualities of material existence. Not that it's cold outside and the temple's 2 meters away, I can't go so far. Or I yawned 15 minutes ago, I should just go to sleep. Or that every woman looks like she's a goddess of fortune now, and every man looks like he's two-handed Narayan. That one has to learn how to tolerate the dualities of material existence. Then if one can learn to tolerate the dualities of material existence, then one can actually hear. Instead of listening to our brain or our mind speaking to us about how we don't like where we are, we want to be somewhere else, and prasadam is only 10 minutes away, so maybe I can learn to tolerate. Now one can tolerate and one can actually hear and accept pure devotional service. I should be doing this activity right now, at this second, to please Krishna. That everything here belongs to Krishna. I'm doing what Krishna wants me to do because his authorities, Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, have told me this. I'm doing it, I'm right here, right now, to please Krishna. Welcome to the present reality. Then one can accept devotional service and actually hear something of value and accept devotional service, gain real knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, know Krishna in truth rather than how our imaginations are explaining him to us, and then meditate in trance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ecstatic love for him. Same thing. As I said before, just explained in a different way. Similarly, we can go over another ways that is explained within our literature. The same process, but explained in many different ways just to capture our attention and hopefully capture our enthusiasm and our surrender. By a little patience, when we hear that we're eternal, that we don't have to worry about anything, Ma Suchaha, Krishna says, then we might be able to hear. We might be able to listen, not take our minds so seriously, all anxieties about the future, all our problems in the past, to actually sit and listen patiently, trying to understand the eternal, Satam Prasangam, Mamavirya Samvido. The devotees, they sit together, and in their association, they hear about the eternal, patiently. And they try to let the knowledge, Siddham Prasangamama Virya Samvido, Bhavanti Rit Karna, go through the ear into the heart, and then practice devotional service. And then when we hear patiently, with the proper perspective, then we get some experience, and that gives us conviction, the next stage. And by that conviction, when we apply it with properly, then Krishna reveals himself in enthusiasm. We feel enthusiastic. Not because I'm by nature enthusiastic, perhaps, but because I'm getting Krishna's mercy. So if we become absorbed in some bliss, some pleasure, then not naturally become enthusiastic. So I can go on, but I think you get the idea. So thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Sometimes I'm thinking there is so many things outside that can make us unhappy. But technically, we can be unhappy at the moment because of the eruption of sinful activity. It is true. But this is only one reason.
I don't quite understand what the question is. Is it a question or a comment? Oh.
If we are unhappy.
Yeah.
Because of any reason that we think of outside, only one reason is because of simple rational simple activity.
No.
Is this only one?
Is that what?
Only that reason that we are unhappy because of
we're unhappy because we're not conscious of Krishna. Just like if you're in a desert and you're wondering why is it so dry here, it's because there's no water. So Krishna is the ocean. If you're in the ocean, there's no question of water. If you're on the if you're in the desert, there's also no question of water. So right now we're in material existence, and because we're not conscious of Krishna, who is the source of happiness, how can we be happy? It's not possible to be happy without the source of happiness. And because we're not happy in consciousness of Krishna, therefore we engage in sinful activities, which makes us even more miserable. And instead of experiencing Krishna, we're experiencing lust and its different manifestations. And Krishna says lust is never satisfied and burns like fire. So not only we're not experiencing the happiness of Krishna, but we're in the blazing fire of material existence, which is quite unpleasant. So the solution is to become conscious of Krishna. And then the blazing fire of material existence, Krishna will put that out and simply will be blissful in serving Krishna in his association, trying to please him.
Yeah, but just we can experience some happiness from eruption from past activities. This is not transcendental, but it is some kind of pleasure. This is the other side, maybe.
There's no happiness in material existence. There's only our imagination. The absence of misery in material existence is called happiness. There's no happiness here. Because we don't know what happiness really is, Therefore, we take the absence of misery as happiness. Just like if you have a toothache, you're very unhappy. And when the toothache is taken care of, then you say, now I feel good. But ordinarily you don't feel your tooth and say, oh, that tooth feels so good. But when it's painful, then it feels very bad, and when it goes away, then I think I'm feeling good. So material existence is just different degrees of unhappiness, and when that unhappiness goes away to even a small degree, lessens a little bit, then we call that happiness. Yes? Here's a microphone coming.
Nandavan Maharaj, so my question was to, because on my point of view, I see that mostly devoted, they are not happy. How to develop that happiness when you're talking about between human form, how to develop that happiness you're talking about?
Well, pure devotee is definitely happy, and those who are engaged in devotional service, especially those five powerful processes, if they engage in them seriously, then for some, they can experience transcendental ecstasy, according to the Nectar of Devotion. So how to develop happiness in relationships? Engage in this and become a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And engage in the six loving exchanges that Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has mentioned, the Nectar of Instruction. And when we experience ecstasy, then we'll feel some happiness. Well, in the spiritual world, they're continuously engaging in the loving exchanges with each other eternally. So it's supposed to be eternal. We're not obliged to fall into Maya. There's not like time out for Maya. Everyone fall into Maya. We can engage in mam jayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityayatan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in unalloyed, uninterrupted service, devotional service, without fail, at once transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So that's one of the stages of pure devotional service, is to come to the platform of Nishta, always 24 hours a day engaging in Krishna's devotional service. And from there, real devotional service begins. There's no more obstacles for devotional service. Everything is an impetus to increase our loving service to Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ki Jai.